I can't believe it, he said. I just can't believe they did it. It was Good Friday in North Dakota, and another pastor at the church I was at came into my office shaking his head. A couple had stopped by looking for help with getting some food, and he went to the office to go get them a gift certificate, and when he came back, they were quick to leave, which he didn't think much of until he was getting dressed for the Good Friday service and realized that the gold cross his parents had given him was missing. I just can't believe they do it. Stealing the pastor's cross on Good Friday, of all days. And then he called up his dad and said, I feel really bad, but you know that cross you gave me? Got stolen. And his dad just started laughing. He's like, why are you laughing? Because when I became a pastor, my grandpa bought me a cross. And it got stolen too. Today's commandment, seventh commandment, you shall not steal. I'm pretty sure most of you would not go pilfer the pastor's office. To be honest, you go right there right now, there's nothing to steal. Most of the time, there's not much more than that. And most of you, I'm guessing, would not put on a ski mask and grab a pistol and go hold up a bank. I'm guessing, most of you, anyway. However, it's a commandment we still break in lots of little bitty ways that are a little more nuanced, less obvious, but still broken. It happens all the time. They say that billions and billions of dollars of theft are reported in our country every year, and there's probably a lot more that's not reported, and that stealing in the U.S. is at an all-time high. Throughout history, there's never been more stealing than there is right now, and part of it is there's kind of an understanding that sometimes it's okay to steal, and sometimes it's not. There's a story about a teacher who is talking with her kids about, you know, what if you were out for a walk one day and you found a briefcase with $1 million cash in it? What would you do if you found that? And a little boy raised his hand and said, well, if it was a poor family, I would give it back. You'll get there. It takes a minute. If it was a poor family. You know, with $1 million. Anyway, but there's kind of like that nuance, like sometimes it's okay to steal, and sometimes it's not okay. But the commandment is simple. You shall not steal. Included within that commandment is the presumed right to private property. If the commandment is you can't steal, it presumes that some people can have stuff, and it's theirs, right? There's that pretty song by John Lennon, Imagine, right? Imagine no possessions. And I don't mean to pick on him. He's a great songwriter. Words are flowing out like endless rain into a paper cup. Come on, that's beautiful. But imagine no possessions? That's just goofy, right? Within the system is an understanding that there are private possessions. And yet throughout Scripture, it's clear that it's not really, really ours, but we are stewards of whatever's in possession. It's not that we get 100% and maybe 10% goes to God and we get that 90%. 100% of what we have is God's, and we are caretakers, stewards, taking care of it for a set period of time. And there's a difference between how you treat things when you feel it's yours and you're going to hold on to it and it's going to be yours and no one's going to take it away, than if you're just taking care of something that belongs to somebody else, right? Like if Macy needed a pen, and I'm just going to pick on you because you're right here, and I gave her my pen, chances are she would be a little nicer with it and try not to lose it. Just because it's not hers, and she doesn't want to be responsible for that. But also she wouldn't get attached to it, right? She wouldn't say, well, I love my pen and, you know, I'm just going to dote on my pen all the time. And that's really one thing that's missing in our lives is just an understanding that what's in our possession is just, it's not really ours. We're just taking care of it for someone else for a time. Because so much about what we worry about and what we argue about and get frustrated about, it's just junk. And it's all going to end up at the dump or at a yard sale. And sticker's going to say a dollar and someone's going to say, no, I'll give you 50 cents. And you'll say, fine. And that's the stuff we get excited about during the week. There's a lot of different ways to break this commandment about stealing than just explicit theft. And I found a list of different ways to break this commandment online, which I realized I had to say because otherwise I'd be stealing a sermon about, part of a sermon about not stealing, which would probably be bad, right? So different ways to steal beyond, some stealing is just explicit theft, right? So nobody's looking, nobody's going to notice, so you steal something, right? My mom helps out sometimes with funeral luncheons at my home church up in Wisconsin. And she talked about how there's some people that come, ladies that come with plastic-lined bags in their purses. And they just grab, like, when nobody's looking, whole desserts or a whole bunch of food and just stuff this plastic-lined purse with it, you know? That's just stealing. Like, it's just taking. You're meant to have your one sandwich and your eight desserts and go home. You know, you're not meant to grab it all and run. That's just more like an explicit stealing. But there's a lot of other different ways to steal, too, right? If you borrow something and you don't return it, is that stealing? I think so. Somebody lets you use something and you have no intention of giving it back. Some of you are going through your garage right now. Maybe your bookshelf. Checked out that book in 1986. Suppose I better get it back at some point. It's stealing when you owe another person money and you have the ability to pay it back, but you don't. Like somebody borrows you $50 to help you get through a bind. You have $50 in the bank. It's stealing not to give it back. False numbers can be used for stealing. And the best example I can think of this is potato chips. Going to get a bag of potato chips. So you go to the store and they have one of those big shiny metallic bags that's like 3 feet by 2 feet. And you're all excited about eating all these chips. And you sit down on the couch and turn on the game or movie or whatever. And you're just going to devour these chips. And looking at the bag, it looks like an entire field in Idaho was harvested with potatoes, carefully sliced and fried and filled this whole bag. And then you rip open the bag and there's that big burst of air. And you look down there and there's like 6 chips in the whole bag. Is that stealing? Yes, right? Because what they're marketing is this huge, you know, 30 square feet of potato chips. And then you get down there and there's barely even a warm-up snack. You can steal time. American workers apparently report spending 20% of their time at work goofing off, 20% of their time at work working. Some of you are like, there's no way it's only 20%. I know. But like, think about it. 5-day work week, 20%. That makes it a 4-day work week. So stealing time. Ryan had a comment. I'm going to probably pilfer and get it wrong. But there's a lot of parents in this room, so we'll throw it in there. Parents can steal future from their children. If there's a child who wants to be a singer and the parent says, yeah, you're really not that good at it, or a child is really interested in something and the parent's like, no, that's a waste. You don't want to get into that. Parents can take away little nuanced pieces of their future. Think if poor little Bob Dylan was told by his parents, you can't be a singer. You know? He can't sing, but there's something cool about it anyway, right? You can steal, another way to steal is you can steal a person's reputation. Gossip, exaggeration, a little innuendo here and there, and a person's reputation can be stolen from them. There's an old story about a woman who went to a priest to confess that she had been gossiping about another woman. And the priest told her to go to the market and buy a goose. And walk from the market back here. And as you walk, pull out the feathers, pluck the feathers from the goose as you walk. So she goes to the market, buys the goose. I think it's dead. Sorry, I don't know. And you pull the feathers as she goes. And then she gets back to the priest and he says, okay, now go back and collect all the feathers. And she looks at him incredulously, right? Like, I just can't. There's no way. And the priest's response is, so too with your sin, right? You gossip, exaggerate, manipulate a person's reputation. Once those words are out there, they're blown all over the place. And there's no way to retrieve them. You shall not steal. But of course, in our church tradition, there's a different way of looking at all these commandments, which isn't just on the negative, but it's also on the positive. It's that we are to fear and love God so that we neither take our neighbor's money or property nor acquire them by using shoddy merchandise or crooked deals, but instead help them to improve and protect their property and income. There's a transition from just feeling bad about the wrong we've done and trying not to do bad to actually trying to help people. And the best example of this is certainly Zacchaeus. Anybody remember the story of Zacchaeus? What did he look like? You can talk, it's okay. A wee little man. And he climbed something. What did he climb? A sycamore tree. Why did he climb the sycamore tree? Can we just sing it? Was a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree. The Lord we want to see. And as the Savior passed the tree, he looked up in that tree and he said, "Zacchaeus, come on down from that tree. Come on to your house today. Come on to your house today." Yay! We didn't do that at 9 o'clock. Okay, so Zacchaeus, wee little man, wants to see Jesus, okay? Imagine a big celebrity coming through town. Everybody wants to see. You're short. You can't see over the crowd, so you do what you can. You climb the sycamore tree. I always wondered how he actually got up to the higher branches of the tree, figuring somebody had to boost him or something. But sycamore trees, the branches go to the ground, so you can just kind of climb up. Even little ones. So he wants to see Jesus, right? So he'll be able to tell his grandkids one day, I got to see the top of Jesus' head, right? And that's very exciting. But Zacchaeus was a tax collector. And tax collector back then is about the same way it is now. Tax collector is synonymous with breaker of the seventh commandment, right? Stealing. No, it's not that bad. But so tax collector back then, maybe it's a good time of the year to talk about this. Tax collector back then would say, hey, they say you owe $2,000. You give me $4,000. $2,000 goes in my pocket, $2,000 goes to where it's intended. That's what tax collectors did. Tax collectors were rich, and everybody knew why they were rich, because they were stealing from those who had to pay. And yet, Jesus invites himself into the house of Zacchaeus. And when Zacchaeus encounters Jesus, everything changes. He gets that inverse flip. It's not just, don't steal, I'm not going to steal anymore. But instead, he gives to the people who he wronged, who he took from, he gives four times what he took. And then beyond that, he goes to the bank and takes 50% of his money out and gives it to the poor. Right? There's that total flip from, I'm just going to steal, I'm going to get as much as I can, and it's all going to be mine. And he gets flipped to, he's going to restore all the people he hurt. He's going to help those who don't have help. Why? Because he's went from being one who steals to understand that he's a steward. He did a bunch of deeds in darkness. And when you're doing deeds in the darkness, you don't want light on them. But once Jesus came to him and encountered him with the light, he realized that what he was doing was wrong and instead moved in another direction. Jesus is not a gold figure to steal. Jesus was not just a nice guy to listen to here and there. Jesus is the Lord of all creation, the owner of all, who leads us from darkness into light, from death into life. Thanks be to him. Amen. Please rise and let us pray. Dear God, thank you for all that you've given us, our family and friends, our home and our stuff, our food and our livelihood. We thank you for all the riches and blessings you placed in our life and pray you help us to understand exactly what they are and that we not harm or take from or hurt our brothers and sisters, but that we do what we can to help them in their time of need. We thank you for coming to us in our need, for taking our place on the cross, that we might know you in glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.